Blog Talk Radio.
What happened to the GOP Obamacare plan? Did Paul Ryan let the party down? If so, should he resign? What happens next? Last week, something good happened that left most GOP members shocked. The party failed to pass their replacement of Obamacare. But why would this be good? First, it gives Trump a failure, which makes him seem more human, teaches him about trusting Ryan, and helps him to understand the perils of health care and the risk of trusting the left in general. The left of the GOP, that is. Further, it also resets the topic so that serious work can be put into a replacement. Now, back to laboring. Meantime, our wiretaps, Russia, and everything else. Trump is still off to a hell of a start, but we've only just begun. Don't give up, because there's a lot more entertainment. Good morning. It's 6:07, third month, 27th day, March 27th. And we do have a lot of, I've got an incredible amount of information today that I could never really get into. But let me start off. Well, you've got to have some sort of an explanation for what happened to Obamacare, so, or Trump care, whatever, Ryan care, whatever you want to talk about. It and here it is. From Speaker Ryan's own greasy lips. Hey, you know, the guy that I had on the show the other day, the gentleman that owns the Thai India restaurant, we had originally discussed Paul Ryan and the fact that he lived right next door to the guy, and he said he was a real jackass. Anyway, here is we'll get that guy back on here. Speaker Ryan, this is a disappointing day for us. Really? You're joking. Here we go.
You've all heard me say this before. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And well, we're feeling those growing pains today. We came really close today, but we came up short. I spoke to the president just a little while ago, And I told him that the best thing I think to do is to pull this bill, and he agreed with that decision. I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Doing big things is hard. All of us, myself included, we will need time to reflect on how we got to this moment, what we could have done to do it better. But ultimately, this all kind of comes down to a choice. Are all of us willing to give a little to get something done? Are we willing to say yes to the good, to the very good, even if it's not the perfect? Because if we're willing to do that, we still have such an incredible opportunity in front of us. There remains so much that we can do to help improve people's lives, and we will. Because that's why I'm here. And I know it's why every member of this conference is here, to make this a better country. We want American families to feel more confident in their lot in life. We want the next generation to know that, yes, the best days of this country are still ahead of us. I'm really proud of the bill that we produced. It would make a dramatic improvement in our healthcare system and provide relief by people hurting under Obamacare. And what's probably most troubling is the worst is yet to come with Obamacare. I'm also proud of the long, inclusive, member-driven process that we had. Any member who wanted to engage constructively, to offer ideas, to improve this bill, they could. And I want to thank so many members who helped make this bill better. A lot of our members put a lot of hard work into this. I also want to thank the president. I want to thank the vice president. I want to thank Tom Price, Mick Mulvaney, and the entire White House team. The president gave his all in this effort. He did everything he possibly could to help people see the opportunity that we have with this bill. He's really been fantastic. Still, we got to do better, and we will. I absolutely believe that. This is a setback, no two ways about it. But it is not the end of the story, because I know that every man and woman in this conference is now motivated more than ever to step up our game, to deliver on our promises. I know that everyone is committed to seizing this incredible opportunity that we have, and I sure am.
Wow. So one of the things that's kind of interesting is Nancy Pelosi gets up and gives a speech, and it's like a family reunion from the Adams family. And she's standing there trying to speak. She can barely speak. And she's got next to her, she's got every person out of the house is just standing next to her, just kind of staring at her with their mouths open. Now Ryan's up there talking alone, of course. And he looks, his body language tells me that he realizes that he's in, if I can quote Michael Jackson, deep doo-doo. Here's part of the problem is that they're doing this stuff behind. I would think that if you met Paul Ryan and really got to know him, you'd realize that he's a very condescending, I'm just guessing, but he's an elitist. He's an elitist, you know, the average person can't really understand what we're doing kind of a thing. We need, you know, these guys are basically saying round two, trust us, vote for this bill, and you're going to find out what's in it. And instead, the GOP, the people on the right, the Freedom Party or Tea Party, whatever you want to call them, said, we have waited too long to change this, and we're not going to go for Obamacare light. Now, here's a little further thought on this.
This is a Fox News alert. Hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Guilfoyle. Welcome to the 5 on this very hectic day in Washington, D.C. There was supposed to be a vote this afternoon on the Republican bill to repeal and replace Obamacare. But just a short time ago, House Speaker Paul Ryan pulled the bill from the floor on orders of the president. The reason? They didn't have enough votes for it to pass. Here's the president moments ago.
We were very close. It was a very, very tight margin. We had no Democrat support. We had no votes from the Democrats. They weren't going to give us a single vote, so it's a very difficult thing to do. I've been saying for the last year and a half that the best thing we can do, politically speaking, is let Obamacare explode. It is exploding right now. I want to thank the Republican Party. I want to thank Paul Ryan. He worked very, very hard. I will tell you that. He worked very, very hard. Tom Price and Mike Pence, who's right here, our vice president, our great vice president, everybody worked hard. I worked as a team player and would have loved to have seen it pass. But again,
has this bill betrayed by the House Freedom Caucus at all? They seem to be the most difficult.
No, I'm not betrayed. They're friends of mine. I'm disappointed because we could have had it. So I'm disappointed. I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you. I think I'm disappointed, but they're friends of mine, and you know, they got on. It was a very hard time for them.
So there's a couple of takeaways from Ryan's speech. One of which is he states it's hard to go from being an opposition party to leadership, and this is kind of the classic definition or allusion to the fact that to lead a revolution is totally different than leading a country or a state. And so I think that people need to bear that in mind. But I mean, I think the problem is leftism. It's always leftism in this day and age. It's always in these type of struggles. It's always leftism. The left is coming up with all kinds of crazy positions and lies. Now there's something that's come out, and I just was finding so much, even when I was going to bed, I was finding more and more and more information to bring to you today. And there is something called Indivisible, which was a movement started by, I guess, just grassroots activists they got to be activists, but it's the position that the left has now come to. Is they oppose everything out of principle. Now, if you oppose everything out of principle, the question is, do you have any principle, or are you just opposing because you're not in power? Which, I mean, it's obviously the case. Let's take a little segue here, and got some Allman Brothers for you this week. 615, 616, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And I've got a little bit more analysis on healthcare. I don't know why I bother to get like 20 clips when I'm only going to use three of them, but it's usually what I do. 523-1450 to call in, AM Las Cruces, 805-618-02 text. I got the texter with me with 20 texts on it. Good job, guys. And preloaded with 20 texts. You're listening to KOBE. We will return with a little more analysis on Trump Care, Ryan Care, Obama Care.
Thank you.
All right. So, and I, like I say, I've got so many clips here, but we can only listen to a few. But I've got 14 lessons from Byron York on this. And then I've got Tom Cotton from Arkansas saying, don't do it in the dark. I think one of the main things is you brought in a bill that was very expensive and did not fit the needs of the country and was transparently, in my opinion, it was a bill to transition from private health care to public health care. In other words, it was, and I think I said this from the very beginning when Obamacare was passed, that it's transparently the model of it was unworkable financially, which is why they put it off. They put off these changes for years at a time. I mean, if it was that great of a bill, why not implement it immediately? Put it off for years at a time. And then as it began to implement, it immediately imploded, right? And then you've got all these people that are up lying. I mean, the same people that are attacking and going after Trump, every single thing that he says is a lie. And CNN just had this crazy report where they said that Donald Trump went and did an interview with Time Magazine, and we went on the importance of truth, and we went back and fact-checked. We got our fact-checker to check. There were at least 14 or 15 absolutely provable lies in this thing, and I'm thinking, you know what? The left is only interested in destroying this guy. I mean, it's, you know what? I'm not saying it reminds me of this, but I think a good metaphor would be, you know, there's some guys that are only about sex when they're around women. And the only thing that every conversation, every statement they make, every maneuver they make is to try to get some girl in the sack. And that's kind of what this reminds me of in the sense of this monomania. I'm trying to remember the guy that wrote the book, famous book on the murderer, the Russian writer, but he uses this phrase monomania in this book over and over again, that the killer had monomania. And I think that that's what these guys, the guy that wrote, now I'm going to be distracted by this, but he, there's only one thing that these guys want to do, and that's to murder Trump. And they act like it is the only thing that is available. The only move that's available for anybody of any principle is to Crime and Punishment is the book, of course, and Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky was an interesting guy. We should do a little segment on him sometime, but very psychologically tormented guy who was brought out to an execution, lined up, they put a blindfold on him, ready, aim, fire, and everybody fired, and nobody had a bullet in their gun, so it was just a bunch of clicks, and then he suffered a nervous breakdown from that. But kind of an interesting guy. Some people say the greatest writer of all time, but back to the point is that Trump is so bad that everything has to be turned into killing him, to destroying him. So I would suggest it's really not about Trump at that point. It's about the left in power. The left will pretend to be anything that you want them to be as long as they're in power. But when they're not in power, they will become the biggest monsters you've ever seen in history. Now, here's a little bit from Tom Cotton. My main point from this whole process is stop doing things behind closed doors. Let the American people in. Paul Ryan, stop looking down at Americans. Stop looking down at people on the right, the GOP, and stop pretending that you're only the only person in the room with a brain. And let's do this process out in the open. Sunlight disinfects, correct? All right, here's from Tom Cotton.
The behind-the-scenes blame game is in full swing here in Washington after the Obamacare repeal's failure. The president immediately blamed the Democrats, but it was his own party, largely a coalition of House conservatives known as the Freedom Caucus, who refused to support the bill. We begin with Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who was a vocal critic of the bill. Senator, welcome. In the Washington Examiner, Philip Klein writes, or the headline to his piece is, GOP cave on Obamacare repeal is the biggest broken promise in political history. What's your reaction to that judgment?
Well, John, first I'd say the president is right that the Democrats gave us Obamacare, and the failure of this bill this week doesn't solve the problems of Obamacare. It's continuing to get worse, and our healthcare system is groaning under the weight of Obamacare. So we have to revisit it. We now have the time to do it in a more deliberate and careful fashion. But ultimately, I don't think you can lay the defeat of this bill last week on any single faction in the House of Representatives. Some conservatives opposed it, some moderates opposed it, even chairmen of powerful committees opposed it. I just think the problem was with first the bill and then the process. Healthcare is a very complicated issue. To release a bill that was written in secret and then expect to pass it in 18 days, I just don't think was feasible.
So you said written in secret. Well, that's on Paul Ryan then. I mean, he controls that process. So are you saying basically that the House leaders, the House Speaker, did it, the process was poorly handled?
I think you can't expect to try to solve a problem that addresses 1/6 of the country's economy and touches every American in a very personal and intimate way in 18 days. You know, when the Democrats came to power in 2009, for 60 years at least, they had been pursuing a national health care system, yet they didn't introduce legislation for 8 months. They didn't pass it for over a year of Barack Obama's first term. So they went through very public hearings and took testimony, developed a fact-based foundation of knowledge. President Obama traveled around the country, held town halls. He spoke to a joint session of Congress. I'm not saying that we needed 14 months to do this, but I think a more careful and deliberate approach, which we now have time to do because we're going to have to revisit healthcare anyway, would have gotten us further down the path towards a solution. I believe that both conservatives and moderates in the House made a lot of concessions already. And I have friends like Jim Jordan in the Freedom Caucus and Charlie Dent in the Tuesday group. And I know that they're both good men. They want to work together. They want to try to find a solution that both they and everyone in between can agree to. With time, I think we can do that.
So your judgment, just so nobody mistakes your message, is that the House rushed it.
I think the House moved a bit too fast.
Okay.
18 days is simply not enough time for such major landmark legislation.
The president this morning, though, is actually pointing fingers at the Freedom Caucus. He says, quote, Democrats are smiling in D.C. that the Freedom Caucus, with the help of the Club for Growth and Heritage, have saved Planned Parenthood and Obamacare. What do you think about that?
It wasn't just conservatives in the House. In fact, I think more non-conservatives than conservatives opposed it. And when you lose the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, one of the most powerful positions, the problem really is not with a specific faction in the House. I think it's with the bill.
Let me get your experience from that town hall that everybody saw. There was a woman who stood up and said that she would be dead were not for Obamacare. The president has said that he's going to wait for Obamacare to explode and collapse, and then it will get fixed. How would that go over with that woman at that town hall or the other people?
Well, I think the president is simply stating a fact that Obamacare continues to get worse. Premiums continue to go up every year when you get to new open enrollment season. Many counties across the country have only one insurer, which means an insurance company has a monopoly over your care. Now, what can happen in the short term while the Congress is continuing to deliberate about health care is what was being called phase two. Secretary of Health and Human Services Tom Price can undertake regulations designed to lift some of the worst harms of Obamacare and try to give some people relief. Later this year, we have must-pass health care legislation that's coming up, the Children's Health Insurance Program, which is very important to a lot of.
All right, details, but anyway, let's hit some local news. It is 629-523-1450 to call in and 805-618-02 text. And so there's always the next step, right? There's always something else. And this guy, Lawrence O'Donnell, got up. I mean, this guy must be he looks like he's either possessed or he's on drugs, saying that that Trump has lost all of his power and authority. Some of these people, I mean, I've got a clip next from David Horowitz that talks about everything that I've ever mentioned to you about the cultic religious nature of leftism, and I think you're going to find it very illuminating, so we're going to have that next. Here's some local news for you. AM Las Cruces, 523-1450.
630. I am more than...
Don't
still debating over what kind of surveillance, whether there was surveillance on Donald Trump and what it looked like. Although I think that it's come out that there were people, either Trump or his associates, somehow got involved in a ring of some sort of surveillance, and then the information was passed around. That's I think pretty much proved. Now the head of the committee, I think, is in a weak spot and is about to okay investigation into the Russian ties to Trump, which, as far as I know, has never even been credibly established. Before I get into this clip from David Horowitz, though, 14 points from Byron York. Don't overpromise. 14 lessons about Obamacare. Don't overpromise. No reason to try to do things so fast. Number two, jobs. The number one issue for people. Three, find more votes. Four, start with giveaways, then move to harder stuff. Five, the art of the deal doesn't work with ideologically driven politicians. Six, Nancy Pelosi was right. The former Speaker and current House Minority Leader said Trump made a rookie error. She's right, but doesn't make her sane. Seven, Trump and the House Republicans have different priorities and agendas. Eight, John Boehner was right about the House Freedom Caucus. And he was laughing at them, saying that they would be there to kill the deal. Nine, keep it simple. 10, Ryan is on probation. 11, on big ticket items, the president leads Congress, not the other way around. 12, the arc of Obamacare failure and GOP outrage are out of sync. 13, CBO estimates matter. Congressional Budget Office. 14, it's still early. It is still early. That's the biggest takeaway. It didn't have to be done overnight, and it was stupid to pretend that it did have to be. Now, here is – this is one of the best things that I've ever heard in my life, which is why I wanted to play it for you. David Horowitz on why the Democratic Party is falling apart. But get down to this, the religious and cultic elements of leftism.
So perhaps David Horowitz, one of the top experts on this disease, can break down what's happening. David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. It is a disease. Look, the left is a crypto-religious movement or a religious cult. And by left, I include the Democratic Party, progressives. They have all these names that hide what they actually are. But they believe the world is a fallen place, although they wouldn't use such an expression. It's a place of oppression, hierarchy, domination, and so forth. And they believe in a redemption. But the redemption is going to be carried out by them instead of a divinity. True religions understand that we're the problem. It's people that are the problem. And therefore, you really can't fix it. And that's why, you know, conservatives are prone to a kind of fatalistic view. Things are probably going to get worse. And that handicaps them in this battle. But for the left, there's this promised land. I'm afraid the Jews are responsible for this idea. There's this promised land, which used to be called communism or socialism, but now it's called social justice, where all their dreams are going to be fulfilled. So if you understand that they're a religious cult, you will also understand that they see themselves as the army of the saints, and they see the rest of us, those who don't go along with their program, as the party of the devil.
And I mean, in fact, that's what they say. It's just wild. So Rachel Maddow, college professors, they're all in the priesthood.
That's right. And they see, that's what they talk like hellfire and damnation preachers all the time. That's why the Democrats are so effective politically. Everything they say is a moral indictment. Republicans talk like accountants. It doesn't motivate people as powerfully as the left's vision does, and it doesn't kill their enemies the way the left's resort to, calling you a racist, sexist, homophobe, deplorable. The Democratic Party is a party of hate. It runs on hate all the time. And that it sort of glues up their minds. So when they see Islam, they see people of color because they're racists. The term people of color is a racist term. We don't speak that way in English. There they are.
So it's cult programming, exactly. So where are they now? What's happening to them worldwide? Why are they like tripling their viciousness?
Well, because they see that Trump is a serious threat. Brexit is a threat. You know, they like governments which are completely unresponsive to the people, because the people are the problem. That's why they put so many people in the gulag and shoot so many people when they get the power, because they have a program to reach.
Exactly. Their religion has reduced the Earth's population. David Rockefeller, Bill Gates, they're the high priest of all this. And their final secret, I guess, that you learn in the cult is people are the problem. Kill everybody.
Well, that's the end game. But along the way, people are the problem because they don't go along with their socialist ideas. This is the problem. They got defeated in the election. They can't accept that. So they call it a resistance. And this is true.
And you predicted 20 plus years ago exactly what would happen in the future, because now I've read most of your books. Then tell us, looking forward, Mr. Horowitz.
All right. So look, I just want to bring out a few things here. Number one, the ultimately influential part of your mind or any person's mind is religion, because it's from religion that you take your ultimate values. Now, even if you're an atheist, this is true. Even if you're agnostic, even if you're a scientific zealot, which is an increasing movement in this culture, it still has either religious or pseudo-religious freight. And so I think I talked about this, but it was a long time ago. The left, if you go back in history, develops out of a kind of a counterfeit Catholic church. If you go back to Auguste Comte, however you want to pronounce it, the guy that started up as a professor, and he has this mental breakdown, never really cured, but he comes up with this idea that society needs to be run by scientists or on scientific standards. And he called for a religion of a kind of a societal religion. And so this is stuff like this is taken by people like Marx. Marx and his buddies pretended that what they did was taken out of, it was just pure truth. The way he writes was, as David Horowitz says, like a religious zealot, like a prophet. And when they call out to the people that are interested in them, it is in a kind of a prophetic style, a call to arms. But leftism is basically like the Catholic Church without a pope. Or the pope, if you want, here's a better description. There is no God, and the pope is the government. And so you have to, and one of the most interesting things is that the left, in putting together socialism and Marxism, whatever style of leftism you want to describe, they took 1,000 accoutrements or memes or moves or institutions from the church and adapted it to their plan. So it really is a fake church, which is in a true church is supposed to be the greatest friend of mankind. So a fake church in this case is the greatest enemy, and it will kill everybody on earth to make its point. And that is scary to say the least. 6:43 AM Las Cruces, Kelly O'Connell, AM 1450, 523, 1450 to call in. And 805-618 to text. Here's some local weather for you. All right, some headlines for you. White House moves to streamline government, getting Jared, the son-in-law, involved. And breaking news or an update on the news, Americans are fleeing big cities. You know, big cities tend to be conclaves of leftism. And if you're on the fence on whether leftism, liberalism is a good movement or not, I challenge you to go and do some historical research, even recently, on any big programs by leftism and how they fail, how damned they are to self-destruction, because they're always based on false premises. Johnny Rotten, Sex Pistols. Rotten praises Trump and Brexit, from the Sex Pistols, very famous. I guess they were they're crazy musicians. Studied 2 hours of social media, double social isolation risks. Dollar down, alarm bells ringing on Wall Street, shares slipping across globe. Green groups promise guerrilla warfare tactics to stop Keystone Pipeline. These are the people, by the way, who claim to be so incredibly logical and scientific. Commitment to their leftism is anything but logical. Religious left emerging as a political force. No shock there. Planning a megalopolis. China is planning a megalopolis the size of New England. And John McCain warning that the New World Order is under enormous strain, and knowing him, that's something sad in his opinion. Republicans setting sights on major tax cuts. Yeah, let's see anything. Oh, Oakland Raiders trying to move to Vegas. Judge okays petition for America's first genderless person. Maybe it's Barack Obama. All right, so here is a little bit from Nancy Pelosi, the disgusting and confused hag of the Democratic Party. Here we go, Nancy.
As bad as Trump care was, Republicans have been up to all night trying to make it worse, scrambling to find a bill that they can pass on the floor. I don't know if you want to call this, on Trump's part, a rookie's error, but you don't find a day and say we're going to pass a bill. You build your consensus in your caucus, and when you're ready, you set the date to bring.
That is true. There's no doubt about it. She reminds me, though, in how she moves and smiles, like she is like, speaking of genderless, she's like some sort of a crazy crack-addled or coke-addled. I don't know what she, I mean, her manner of speaking and maneuvering and her smiling is she's like the 1948 runner-up, Tennessee number three runner-up to the Miss America state crown. She's just got these weird mannerisms and ways of smiling that are kind of creepy or disjointed from really what's going on. She's like a animatronic robot. All right, here's some more. Here is some craziness from Nancy.
Thank you very much, Ron, for your very, very generous recanting of what happened at the time.
All right, so this clip is a little screwed up, but here she is. They ask her, "What do you? Who's the leader of the Democratic Party?" And it just about causes a short circuit in her shriveled brain.
Who is the leader of the Democratic Party right now?
Well, President Obama was the president of the United States until just a matter of a weeks ago. I don't think that he can be dismissed as the leader of the Democratic Party. Hillary Clinton did not win the election, but a respected leader. But we have leaders for all different aspects of it. The Democratic Party is a congressional party, and we have leaders in Congress. It is a gubernatorial party. And
but on the state level, it is a party which has suffered tremendous losses in the last couple of years.
It has, but we have a plan to address that.
So there's not one standard bearer that you see as the leader of the Democratic
Party? Well, we're not in the presidential – we're not in a presidential time.
She is totally lost on the question, who's the leader? And nobody listed her as a leader when they were asking, doing some polling. But Nancy Pelosi is probably the closest thing that they have to a leader. She's like if Emperor Hirohito lived to like 150 years old and they had to roll him out to give speeches once a year. 653 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces, same 1455, 23, 1450. We'll be right back. Being the glutton for punishment that I am, I have a little more Nancy for you. Listen to how her animatronic recording inside her brain gets a little bit off track.
$9 billion cut from education. Now, remember this. Nothing brings more money to the Treasury than investment in education. So when the Republicans say we need to reduce the deficit because we must cut education, that is a stupid economy because it would... Again, nothing brings more money to the Treasury to reduce the deficit than the education of the American people and recognizing that our mission is about the future. It's about the future, and that future demands that we invest in education and health, the health and well-being of the.
I feel like I'm in Orlando listening to the animatronic Abraham Lincoln after he catches fire.
American people and our families, for our children, our children, our children. I wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. Perhaps as we have St. Patrick's Day lunch, we can have a moment of comedy.
We've had our moment of comedy there.
Of comedy, of goodwill, in honor of St. Patrick.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here we go. Here's Porky Pig's version of this.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of
So anyway, all right, 6:58, and here's another story for you. Female athletes crushed by women who were once men. Let me ask you this. Do you accept there's a difference between men and women? I suspect you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this show, number one. Number two, is the media's fixation with genderlessness going to get in the way of fairness in athletics? And are all the people that are dissatisfied with their lives and want to change their gender and start dosing on whatever, getting operations or getting doses of hormone pills, those people, you're going to let them compete against normal individuals born in the gender that, you know, clinging to the gender they were born in? And then you're going to say these are out. So what would be the argument against Barry Bonds and other users of steroids if you accept this thing with transgenderism? That's why we're unhappy. That's why we're lost. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell. I'm happy. Happy to be with you this morning. 523, 1450. We'll be back after a break on the hour.
No one knows the gypsy's name. No one hears the song we sang. There are no blankets where he's at. It's all in the deepest dreams, the gypsy's name.
Kelly, hold on just a second.
Sweet Melissa.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hold on one second.
Good morning.
What's up, Bob? I just had to cut the music. What's going on?
Well, I was wondering if you're going to put me on the air this morning.
Well, you called when there was 3 seconds left and I wasn't on the air anymore, but what are we going to talk about?
Well, the Republican Party, I gave them $200. They didn't give me a receipt or anything. I don't know what happened to the money, but I'm not too concerned about it. I was wondering about all these people like Nancy Pelosi who continue to drink and say it's good for us.
Hey, can I put you on hold for 6 minutes and we'll come back?
You're an honor, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Man alive, it is hotter than an ovulating wombat in this studio. The person who's got the studio next to mine always turns on the heat. The heat is right over my studio, and I don't think it really gets over the other studio. Either that or there. It's just maybe the other host doesn't like conservative commentary. But be that as it may. All right, so we've got Bob on the line. Thanks for holding, Bob. And you had a statement of remonstrance against the Republican Party.
Yes, sir. Kelly, if I may begin by telling you, it's a great honor to speak with you and everyone at your great station. It was during Nathan Small's administration here in Las Cruces and at City Hall, and I went down to the Republican Party for a review concerning running for his district. And I told them I was going to bring him $200, and they said, well, we'll meet you. We met there, and we sat down and had a little discussion, past the session. People are really good. They're young professionals, really. And a young woman in front of me said, well, Bob, you're behind the eight ball. And I said, well, then I guess I'm not going to get involved here. And I'd already given him $200, and I was really surprised that when I walked up that he didn't give me a receipt. But I'm not too concerned about it. They're very good people, Kelly. I recommend anybody who wants to get involved to please the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, whichever fits you best. And it was a great weekend. I finally went to church, and I'm just feeling good. I hadn't even taken my meds, so I had to get in the house and
hold on. Start the day. Hold on. Before you take your meds, are you still there?
Yes.
So you were trying to launch a campaign against the evil madness of Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small.
I didn't want to do that. I gave him a pendant before he got. Didn't he get reelected for a state senate or?
He went in. He's in the House, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I'm happy for him and his wife, gorgeous lady, but they're very quiet, for being Catholics. And I don't have anything against a Catholic. I've been a Catholic most of my life, or almost most of my life. And it's just, I just love your city, Kelly, and I'll do anything I can to make an improvement or try to do better, pick up squirrels, raccoons, whatever it takes.
Bob,
when I'm walking,
Bob,
and I'm watching
Bob,
the payment,
Bob,
I'm thinking about
Bob,
you and everyone at the station. And
Bob,
wait a minute, our city of Las Cruces.
Bob,
I'm in the county, you're in the city. What am I going to do?
Bob, can you hear me? Hey,
yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Did you ever challenge Nathan on his radical abortion rights support?
Officially, no, sir.
How about unofficially? You should have cornered him in the confessional.
You're so funny. No, that would have been too sacrilegious. No, I did go to the mayor's office, and he finally met me up there, and I required that he give me back the $10 that I donated to his campaign, and then in return I gave him, a pendant, and there's no pendant.
What are
right
these
now,
pendants?
Hall, so
what are these pendants? Bob, what are these pendants? What's on them?
Well, American flag pendants made in China. You get them from the signage over there on Main Street.
Hey,
Fiesta.
Did the mayor's hand start to smoke visibly as the pendant sat in his hand?
No, not Ken and I. We're buddies. You better be careful.
Oh, did you go out to lunch with him and listen to his dreams of being the governor?
We're too busy for that right now. Kelly.
All right. Okay. Well, listen,
I
Bob. Hey, thanks a lot. Go get those meds.
I guess they'll find out who my county commissioner is.
Who is your county commissioner?
I don't know. I'm going to go down to the Donna County building
call,
and try to find out.
Call Ben Ross, and he knows everything.
He's too busy.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye bye. All right. So, yes, that's true. A pendant of an American flag went into the mayor's hand and immediately began to smoke. It almost caused a fire. Whew. But anyway, so, all right, we've got this thing here called, well, actually, we've got one more crazy outburst from Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, how did she get elected? I mean, Nancy Pelosi clashes with constituents. Do you want to listen or just speak? Here she is in San Francisco Town Hall. What the? This thing is all right. I don't probably need to tell you this, but my computer is frozen. But let me see if I can shake it loose here. She is, why would somebody like that come and do a, don't understand why they would do a town hall meeting since most of these people are trying to live under the radar. All right, here we go. This may work right here. Oh, okay, I'm going to have to reboot this, but not reboot it, but reload the page. But Nancy Pelosi, anyway, I mean, her family's got to be proud of her. Her daughter is a filmmaker. Her daughter is, you know, some of these people, you see them, and then you see their kids, and you can tell their kids think that they have the same stuff that their parents do, you know, or that they have. Like it can't be that hard. It can't be that hard to get into Congress. My mom's the top congressperson, therefore. But it is hard for some reason. And I don't know how some of these people get elected. All right, we'll take a break here, 7:12, and I'll try to get this last little speech from Nancy to you. Great thing about the Allman Brothers, everybody wrote songs. I do have another clip of Nancy Pelosi at this town hall meeting. Here we go. Oh my gosh, this thing is not playing. All right, here, it's playing. It was playing, I just didn't see it. The internet seems strange these days, doesn't it? It's like slowing down, more strange things are happening. Could be the Illuminati.
I have been, as I said to my colleague, I was on the streets holding signs for single payer 30 years ago before I ever went to Congress.
She must have choked on the fumes. It must have pickled her brain. Okay. All right. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. This thing just fell apart.
And
it's rebooted. Now it's back and twice as strong. Hold on a second here. How does it reboot and then it boots up again and it's like playing like 10 times faster? All right, here we go. In the meantime, I do have a little Beck watch information for you Beck lovers or haters. But here's Nancy. Nancy, I was outside and breathing heavy diesel fumes for years.
I have been, as I said to my colleague, I was on the streets holding signs for single payer 30 years ago before I ever went to Congress. In the Affordable Care Act, in certain respects, we have gone to the left of Medicare for All. Medicare, yes, yes, yes. Do you want to listen or do you just want to speak?
Let her speak.
We tried to mitigate for not getting single payer or public option by putting as many benefits in the bill as possible. And one of them, and listen up, one of them is catastrophic coverage. And so we think that there are ways...
They're screaming, do you support single payer? That's all these lefties care about. I mean, go to any freaking country. I used to live in a foreign country and try to a single payer foreign country, find quality health care that's available in single payer. I dare you.
I have always supported that. I have been supporting it before you were born. I reported since you were born.
Holy cow. She was the midwife when that little lefty was born. But there is some great things that are happening right now related to Trump. Here's the thing. We have accepted government incompetence for so long. And the celebration of government incompetence within the political class. Now Trump is challenging that. It's like, you know, blowing my mind, the things you can get used to. All right, shifting gears here, Indivisible, a practical guide. Where did this stuff come from? Where did the permanent resistance campaign come from? Here we go. LA Times. Meet Indivisible, the young progressives leading the resistance to President Trump, some of which you just heard shouting down Nancy Pelosi. The idea started with a public Google document. In the weeks after Donald Trump won last year's presidential election and Republicans kept control of Congress, Sarah Dole, D-O-H-L, which should be D-O-L-E, a.k.a., you know, public support, welfare, et cetera, along with a handful of friends and former Capitol colleagues, wanted Americans, mostly distraught Democrats, to know their voices could still be heard. Not expecting much, they published online a 26-page document in mid-December outlining a succinct idea, resist. Yeah, you know, it's like they must see themselves as Jews in Nazi Germany. Its title, Indivisible, a Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda, quickly drew interest. George Takei, the actor who starred in the television series Star Trek, the Asian guy, tweeted to his 2.2 million followers. So did former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, who worked for the Clintons. And Dole said, we just had no idea it would turn into this huge movement. From her house in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., we thought our moms might read it. At first started with a small group of young progressives battling around ideas on how to move forward under Trump administration, has blossomed into a national movement known as Indivisible. The mission centers on grassroots advocacy targeting members of Congress inclined to work with the new administration and those who, in Indivisible's view, don't do enough to oppose it. All right. So a very long article. That's the beginning of it. You get the idea. Here is a clip from online Indivisible and has had 99,000 views from January 30, 2017, just a few mere months ago.
If you're like me, you've been pretty freaked out about Trump and his agenda. Good news. Smart people with tons of experience in how politics really work have put together a practical guide on how to make Congress listen to us that you can find at indivisibleguide.com. Members of Congress only care about their constituents, and that means you. You will have three simple targets, your two U.S. senators and your representatives. You will let them know how you feel about every important issue that comes up. But a warning, it's going to require a little more than just calls and petitions. This all begins when you join a local group or start your own. Once you're part of a team, there are four simple tactics to engage in. Town halls. Members of Congress will hold them. You just have to show up and use the public comment section to voice your opinion. Public events. Your members of Congress will be out there cutting ribbons and kissing babies. You need to be there asking the smart questions and holding them accountable to issues they are on the wrong side of, or thanking them for being on the right side in hard times. Office visits. Members of Congress take meetings, schedule one, or just show up and bring some friends. Let them know you care, you vote, and you are watching them. Call them. Work with local groups to participate in mass call days so your members of Congress can't ignore their constant ringing phones and full voicemail boxes. Over 500,000 individuals have already downloaded the guide. Over 100,000 people have signed up in every congressional district in the country, and over 3,000 groups have registered in every state in the nation. This is needed, even if your senators and representatives are on the right side of the issues, because we have to embolden them and show them that they have solid ground support. Pretty simple, right? Three targets, four tactics. The hard part is that it's not about doing it once and then calling it a day. To make this work, we all need to be in this for the long haul. A real resistance movement is a marathon, not a sprint. Go to indivisibleguide.com and sign up to join the movement that will win. Read the guide, share it, and let's get to work.
So winning an election doesn't mean anything in this country because you've got this group of people, these maniacs, who will do anything. They'll go down and shut down a town hall and demand their rights or demand social justices. David Horowitz stated earlier. So what do these people want? First of all, they want more leftism. They want more socialism. What is the logic? What's the argument for it? Where's the wait? Since these are radical science advocates who want to tell everybody who has any religious interests to sit down and shut up, where's the scientific proof that socialism works? The only proof I've ever seen is that socialism doesn't work and it destroys everything. So, but that's Indivisible. And so you can find it at indivisibleguide.com. And note from the team introduction summary, chapter one, how grassroots advocacy worked to stop Obama. Two, I thought Obama just tripped over his own shoelaces. Two, how your members of Congress thinks and how to use that to save democracy. Wow. Chapter three, organize a local group to fight for your congressional district. Four, local advocacy tactics that actually work. Forget about saving democracy. How about saving the Republic? 725, a little more complicated idea. Got local news for you. We'll be right back. 523-1450 and 805-61802. Text in. Great hanging out with you this morning and going over a lot of crazy leftism and the always entertaining Donald Trump show. We'll be right back. And I'm back. right. Now, the hardest thing to do to find, the hardest thing to find is not political clips. Man, I got them up the wazoo. The hardest thing to find is comedy without cursing. I hope Josh Schneid. Actually, I had the funniest clip from this guy, and I went back to put it on the list, and I think he deleted it. Anyway, I don't know why this guy is not more popular, but great timing. Here we go. Getting older versus growing up. Josh Schneid.
To say, I don't feel 31, and I don't even think that that's old, you know? It's just I'm growing up, and that's what sucks. Because when I was a kid, I thought it was the same thing. Like, you reach a certain age, and you have to act like a grown-up. But I figured out that's not the way it works, you know? Basically, what happens is you find yourself saying things that you swore you never would, and you're like, damn it. And then it's like a realization. I had it a couple months ago. My mom said, Josh, what do you want for your birthday? I said, I don't know, maybe a vacuum and some Tupperware. And I was like, oh, my God, did I just say that out loud? And I meant it. Like, even after I thought about it, I was like, I could really use those things. That is sad. Like, you should never be excited if someone gives those to you as a gift. I was depressed the whole day. I was like, what happened to me? I was cool, man. I never cared what happened to my leftovers or how clean my house was. We used to punch holes in walls after poker games, and I'd be like, don't worry about it. They'll take it out of the deposit. You know, why fix it? We'll hang a poster over it like it's the Shawshank Redemption and somebody's trying to get out. That's the old me. I miss it. Now the new me, I'll see two crumbs in the corner of my kitchen. What is this stuff all over the floor that I just swept? You know what? You guys don't respect my house, you don't respect my things, and you don't respect me, and oh my God, I'm gay. My fear is that I'm going to be as bad as my mom. My mom, her home is immaculate, but she is a neat freak. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to have to dry out the kitchen sink when I'm done doing the dishes because those clean water drops really irk me. My mom makes me glad we didn't grow up during the Old Testament. Now, I know that sounds weird, but I'm the firstborn in our family, okay? And I'm pretty sure if we lived in ancient Egypt during the plagues, and the death angel was making his way across town, my mom would have been like, son, your father and I love you very much, but we're not putting lamb's blood on our new front door. Okay, that stuff is really hard to get out. I'm sure you understand. If you got that joke, I am really proud of you. Okay, and if you didn't, you need Jesus. Because listen, no. You don't hear a lot of Passover jokes on Comedy Central Records. Okay, that might be the only one.
All right, so that's Josh Schneid. You know, I just wonder if you're a super funny guy and you don't make it, that's got to play with your sense of destiny. All right, man, I'm looking through a bunch of... I hate doing just politics all for 2 hours. It just kind of gets to you after a while. But there are a lot of interesting things going on politically. Would you like a few clips from, yeah, let's do this. I just happen to have in my back pocket for your viewing pleasure, for your listening enjoyment, Gorsuch clips that I think you'll like. We'll be right back. Got a little local weather for you. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, 805-6180-2 text. Okay, before deep state, Gorsuch, I've got some great clips. These are the clips of the day, certainly. These are from the deep state, but I've got Beckwatch, Glenn Beck fired Tommy Lahren, this kind of blonde haired babe that was standing up and fighting for the conservative movement until she realized that she was very much for pro-abortion rights. And she got up and said that on her show and caused a lot of chaos. And so Glenn Beck is firing her. which I find strange because what is it that Glenn Beck actually stands for these days? You know? In the meantime, I went and looked at Quantcast, which tracks the viewership, the listenership of various entities. Well, it tracks internet traffic, and I went back and looked from the very beginning of the history of the Glenn Beck, the Blaze, and looked through it, and it, you know, saw when it went up and down and everything. It appears that he took a huge dip when he started to attack Trump and has never made a comeback. And he doubled down on that by coming out with a lot of statements and positions that were inconsistent. He apologized for things he said against Obama, et cetera. But his viewership his tracking to the Blaze is down to, I'm trying to remember what his high spot was. I think his high spot per month was 100 and almost 190, maybe a little over 190 million views, international views at his website. That's down significantly, down to like 50 million per month. And that, I think that includes repeat visitations, but his traffic to his website that I think are people that are signed up, or at least people that are going anyway, the number that I got, I think he was up to 29 million per month. And that's the highest that I saw. Now it's down below 8 million. So I'm not saying that his business model is completely destroyed, but I don't see where he goes from here, because I don't think Glenn Beck can rebuild his audience. What would he do it on? All right. Deep state. This stuff is so interesting. Check this out. And this is with Lou Dobbs, who I think is fantastic, too.
Yes, and the intelligence and the surveillance claims and the deep state's involvement in it all. Chris Farrell, he's director of investigations and research for Judicial Watch, which does an incredible service to the nation day in and day out, producing, public knowledge that would be hidden from us all if it were not for Judicial Watch. Great to have you with us, Chris.
Thank you, Lou.
To hear the House Intel Chair tell it, these are blockbuster statements that are being made. He effectively vindicated President Trump with what he revealed to the president, to the press. And it's interesting. I watch the national left-wing media, and they don't even mention the fact that President vindicated, that he was right, that, you know, because some had mocked him. It's newspaper after newspaper, their editorial boards even weighing in on what a foolish thought the president had. Your reaction?
I can tell you that when President Trump said Obama wiretapped me, that's sort of Queens shorthand, right? The president is still a guy from Queens, New York.
Right.
And he said, look, the Obama wiretapped me. And what that means in Washington language is that administration officials out of the Obama White House unlawfully obtained intelligence information and, again, unlawfully shared that with their allies in the media. That's the long Washington answer to President Trump saying, Obama wiretapped me. And yep. the facts are that, intelligence information was unlawfully manipulated or used in a way. They may have been legally collecting the intelligence, but they mishandled it in a way and then revealed the names and then disseminated it again in an unlawful way to either embarrass or smear or in some way undermine President Trump.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing right now.
And this is a campaign. This is more than a campaign. It's a war against President Trump and his administration, everyone in that administration. And I think it may be that they are only now coming to the realization that there will be no quarter. There is no depth to which the Schumers, the Adam Schiffs will stoop to attack day in and day out. And then the shadow government itself carrying out all sorts of strategies against this president. It is the ugliest thing I have ever seen. Your thoughts on this, the extent of this?
Yeah, about a month ago, I put out a couple of videos. One was entitled "The Soft Coup." That's what we're experiencing.
Right. I saw that.
And then the Cold Civil War, and that's what we're right in the middle of. Look, there are, if you look at Sally Yates at Justice, there are hundreds of Sally Yates.
Yeah, that's
all throughout the government. And
Sally Yates being the deputy attorney general,
right,
who the administration, the president had to fire.
Because she betrayed her oath. I mean, she, instead of arguing to the point of decision, and then if you reach a crisis of conscience, what you're supposed to do is resign.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get up and tell the rest of the Justice Department not to follow the lawful orders of the president.
How far does this go? And what should we expect next in this deep state war with this administration and this president?
Yeah, it goes far and wide. There's a tremendous number of political operatives working actively against the president. And I think what's going to come out, and it's going to be, it'll make Watergate pale in comparison. Mr. Nunez and others are going to reveal, they're going to get the basic interrogatives. Mm-hmm. Who authorized this intelligence activity? What agency was doing it? Who authorized the unmasking of the names and who disseminated it?
Why
and
did
once,
not?
Once you answer that, the game is over.
Why were the, Admiral Rogers of the NSA, James Comey of the FBI, both before Nunez and his committee Monday, on Wednesday this comes out.
Yep.
What in the world is going on and why is that timing? And now we're going to have another opportunity for truth to emerge tomorrow, thanks again to Chairman Nunez.
Well, Chairman Nunez says that the FBI is not cooperating so far. They've been on notice since, 3 weeks ago about providing information, and they haven't. And unfortunately, Admiral Rogers sat there the other day and said that they were researching how many Americans, and both the number and the names of Americans who had been unmasked.
Right.
And that is baloney. That information is available to him in about 5 seconds with about a dozen keystrokes. Right. The NSA knows exactly what Americans.
Do you think we'll have that number tomorrow?
They better, because he knew it back then. And this idea that they're researching it is laughable.
Chris, not much of it is laughable. I'll take that for the night's festivities in this very serious issue.
It is.
All right, so the deep state, here's a little bit more, and James Comey has to be removed. He's extraordinarily dangerous, and he's part of the deep state. Check this out.
From the House Intel Committee hearing today, the site has some pretty heated exchanges. Congressman Trey Gowdy is always can be expected for a few of those, and he talked to the FBI Director Jim Comey about this rash of intelligence leaks that ended up in the media. Watch this.
Would Director Brennan have access to an unmasked U.S. citizen's name?
In some circumstances, yes.
Would National Security Advisor Susan Rice have access to an unmasked U.S. citizen's name?
I think in general, and any other National Security Advisor would.
Do you agree much of what is learned from these programs is classified or otherwise legally protected?
All FISA applications, review by the court, collection by us pursuant to our FISA authority is classified.
The dissemination of which is a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison?
Sure, unauthorized dissemination.
Unauthorized dissemination of classified or otherwise legally protected material punishable by a felony up to 10 years in federal prison.
Yep, yes, as it should be.
See where that was going. Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is here with his reaction to all of what we saw today. He's also a Fox News contributor and author of the book Treason. Newt, good to see you again tonight. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here, although it's very disturbing to look at the lack of FBI aggressiveness when you're having so many secrets that are leaked that are dangerous to American national security.
So that's your takeaway. I mean, when you sort of look at the scope of what we saw today, right, you have the wiretapping, which was debunked, which the president tweeted about. That's, part of this story, to be sure, and how he should address that in the coming days. You have this issue of how Flynn's name got out, which is a very serious matter, as you just heard from Jim Comey. And then you have this issue that is sort of was pressed by Democrats today, that there was a nefarious relationship between the Trump campaign and Russia that was all designed to create a win for him. Which one do you want to take on first?
Well, look, some of it is so idiotic, you have to really wonder what's going on. For example, two of the people that they cite as campaign people actually had letters written to them by the campaign lawyers that were cease and desist letters that said, you're not part of this campaign. Don't say you're part of this campaign. And we're bringing legal sanction against you. Yet you listen to the news media and you listen to Democrats, they describe them as though they weren't part of it. Remember, Hillary's campaign chairman's brother is a registered foreign lobbyist who was representing one of the biggest banks in Russia. Now, you suddenly don't hear any talk about that, and that's certainly not a problem. And nobody would have any suggestion that the Podesta brothers were in any way tainted by Russian money. But now let's talk about allegations that are baloney. 97% of the donations in the Justice Department went to Hillary Clinton. That is an institution filled with people who are liberal lawyers who hate Donald Trump. They're not doing their job. Comey's answers today were pathetic. The fact that he wouldn't
up front
to say, of course we have investigations underway. Of course we want to put out. You'll notice when he's asked by Trey Gowdy about Susan Rice, he promptly puts in, oh, and other national security advisors would also have that ability. That's not what Trey asked him. He asked about a specific person in the Obama administration. We're not talking about other people. But there's this constant effort. And I find the performance by the FBI director very, very disappointing and, frankly, a little alarming. He has too much power to be as politically clever as he is.
Do you think he should not be talking about any of this? I mean, he was asked to come to this hearing. He was forthcoming.
Well, if he's
when
he talk,
said, you know, I can verify for
fact,
you that there is an ongoing investigation.
Say, what he said was, I'm allowed to tell you there's an ongoing investigation about the Russians and the Trump campaign. I'm not allowed to tell you about any investigations involving Americans who are committing felonies with up to 10 years in jail, leaking secret information. Now, how come he could tell us the one but not tell us the other? I mean, it makes no sense. And I think Comey's performance today was incomprehensible as a matter of law enforcement, but pretty good as a matter of political hatchet job on behalf of the Democrats.
All right. So that's out of the equation. What about President Trump? I mean, he has stirred up a lot of this controversy on his own, and he's got a ton of agenda items going on right now. He's meeting with the Iraqi prime minister today. Nobody will barely mention it because of all of this overshadowing by these accusations. And he kept going at it today on Twitter, good or bad.
Well, look, first of all, I think he sometimes clutters his own message. I think everybody ought to go back and read his speech at the Hermitage in Nashville last week, where he talked about the parallels between him and Andrew Jackson. I think it's one of the most revealing speeches Trump has given. But Trump is Trump. He's when he gets in a fight like this, he sticks at it. He doesn't back off. It's a lesson he learned dealing with Page Six in New York. But interestingly, it also doesn't seem to bother him. As you point out, he meets with the German chancellor. He meets with the Iraqi prime minister. They're working on the Supreme Court nomination. They're trying to pass a health care bill. He's doing a lot of stuff. It's the news media that seems myopic.
All right. But he's given him the opportunity to be in some cases. So, Judge, thank you very much.
All right. So there is a battle. Yeah, okay. Here's the thing to take away this morning is that is something you already knew or suspected or were afraid to think about, like I am. I don't like to think about this stuff because the implications are so unpleasant. But there is a war for control of Washington, D.C. When the left is in charge, they will put on all number of different little pantomimes in which they pretend to care for one thing or another, the party of this, the party of that. When they're out of power, it becomes this frantic and really almost insane rush and fight to get back into power. And it seems to me that they would basically destroy everything if they can't get back into power. And as part of this, I see James Comey as being part of the problem, not the answer. There's no explanation for most of what he's done. Why he attacked Hillary Clinton, I have no idea. But he's working on something that seems like it is not helping America per se. 750, I'm going to come back and tell you about an interesting article called Is Psychology Full of Untheories? And I hope they're not talking about zombies. 750, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450 and 805-6180 on text. Okay, so there's a guy who writes at Real Clear Science who is, I enjoy reading his stuff, called Ross Pomeroy. Go into Real Clear Politics, and one of the subheadings is science, and that's where I get a lot of the stuff. If I bring on science to the show, I'll get it there because they kind of get the cream of the crop off of stories. Here is one that I think everybody should pay attention to, is Psychology Full of Undead Theories. All right, here's your first paragraph. Science is embattled in a raging replication crisis. Now, understand, replication has to do with the ability to reproduce a finding. So in normal science, a theory is put out there, and then the scientist tries to, in a real world, in real world science, not global warming, but in real science, the scientist tries to disprove his theory or her theory. If they can't, then they come up with some explanation or summary of it. Some, you know, and if it's good enough, then it becomes, you know, that enters into the scientific facts. Science is embattled in a raging replication crisis in which researchers are unable to reproduce a number of key findings or outcomes. On the front lines of this conflict is psychology. Now, here's the question for you, and I know there's some people that listen to the show that are psychologists. In a 2015 review of 98 original psychology papers, just 36% of attempted replications returned significant results, whereas 97% of the original studies did. And so that means that the magazines and the websites and the journals are printing up as true psychological studies that are false. And so reporter Manya Baker warns, don't trust everything you read in the psychology literature. In fact, 2/3 of it should probably be distrusted. How did this happen? A couple of professors claim the field is sliding towards a state of being unfalsifiable, and its inheritance either don't notice or don't seem to care. And driving this trend is publication bias, where they're only publishing things that make the science look good. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are cited out there as science, and if you disagree with them, then you're anti-science, of course. But, the left is always pulling out of its back pocket these claims of, sometimes people will, they're involved in the debate and a topic comes up that they're on. And, I mean, it's no different from global warming. You might as well use that. 99% of scientists believe that there is such a thing as global warming and it's destroying the planet. That particular thing is a fake statistic, but it's all over the place, and it's especially true in psychology. So is psychology a real discipline? Is it a real scientific discipline? If it is, what is it going to do to fight off this problem? And if it's not, what are we going to do? Because we tend to use psychology quite a bit in everyday life. So what are we going to do? How are they going to fix it? And I mean, it seems to me like if you're going to call it a science, it has to have the same standard as physics, right? So be very wary and feel free to go check up and do a Google on any particular studies that are out there. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Been a good 2 hours to spend with you. And, here's one last article, The Death of Paul Ryan, Policy Genius. You know, Paul Ryan, who headed up the Obamacare fix, has only passed 3 bills in history. So he's put out there as a policy wonk and a genius, and they say that's just radically overstated. And Ezra Klein from Vox called his fix of Obamacare a shoddy piece of work. And Klein then went on to say his stroke of genius has been flattering Trump's vision of himself as a deal maker. But while trying to, so like any true leftist, Ryan is trying to drag his special programs and all of his payoffs to his supporters through that. Has blamed Trump is furious with Ryan and mentioned to 4 different people how disappointed he was. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Ciao. Oh, and I am going to get into Sweden as the world's greatest socialist empire because Frankie keeps texting me about it. Shame on you, Frankie.